miss it, oh God, or to have us not to hear it, God. But God, we will be faithful hearers today. Oh God, we want to hear your word. We want to live by your word. We want to apply it to our lives so that we can have victory over everything, God, coming our way in Jesus' name. And we want to know you more and most of all be made in your image day by day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just so thankful to be in the house of the Lord one more time, and just thankful that to see everybody here today and all our guests, and just knowing that God brought us here. Amen. That nobody's just here. I just know that God has brought us here and for a reason. You know, last Sunday, awesome word last Sunday, you guys. Awesome word. Amen. And I pray that you have went back and you have listened again, because there was so many valuable treasures in the word last Sunday that if you listened, I mean, you would just get excited of knowing who God is. And a lot of times we think we know who God is, but you know, if you start getting into the scriptures, all of a sudden it just comes even more so of what you thought you knew, and he becomes bigger and more amplified. And so I'm telling you, get back into last Sunday sermon. Amen. Don't just listen to Pastor David's voice, but listen to what he's telling you, the word. And then open up your Bible and look up these scriptures, and you will be just like, last Sunday I was so excited. I wanted to run up here and just scream, because there was things that in all my time in church, and I've been in church most of my life, okay? There was just things that was just so enlightened in my spirit, and it made me so happy to be on the Lord's side. Amen? I don't know about you guys this morning, but, and I don't know until you let me know. I keep saying I don't want to say I don't know, but until you let me know, I don't know. And so, do you love Jesus this morning? I want to know how many believers are in the house. Raise your hand. How many believers are in the house? I want to raise your hand. Okay, all right. So this is the lesson for the believers this morning. And for the non-believers, it's an eye opener for your spirit, I pray. So after Pastor preached, I kept hearing something in my spirit, and it was receive him. Receive him. Turn to somebody and say, receive him. And y'all said, who him? Who's the him? Who we receiving? That's a good question to ask, right? Who you talk about receiving? But when I say receive him, I'm talking about receive Jesus, all right? And I'm going to start with this scripture. It says, in Acts 19, 1 through 2, it says this. And I hope we get up. Okay, there we go. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper island districts and came down to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And I want y'all to hang on some words. There he found some disciples. Uh-huh. Now, disciples means that they are followers of Christ. There he found they are believers. They're believers. They are disciples. They are followers. They're not people that don't know Christ. They are disciples, okay? And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus as the Christ? And they said, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, I want y'all to focus on what I said in the beginning, because everybody raised their hand most. I didn't see anybody's hand down that said they were a believer this morning. All right. I'm a believer. Believers are followers of Christ. Amen. Disciples of Christ. Amen. These were followers of Christ, and they were disciples, okay? And he asked these followers, the believers, he says, then have you received the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit? We're going to talk about is both transferable in the Bible. Since you believe. And the believers, the disciples, said, No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm asking the believers in the house, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost? And we're going to go through this because you're going to find something, because a lot of us mean when we say, I received the Holy Ghost, you're saying, I've spoken in tongues. And so this morning, we're going to go through this scripture, and we're going to find out. Pastor David was giving us an introduction to the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we equate the Holy Spirit to the gift and not to the person. And we do the Holy Ghost like, because Pastor made it very clear when you go back to those scriptures that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost all are one. They're all God, okay? But we do the Holy Ghost like we do God sometimes, and we worship his hand and not the one that has the hand. We worship the created, you know, what he gives us more than who he is. And a lot of times with the Holy Ghost, who is God, we honor what he gives us, the gift, more than he is the Holy Ghost. And so today God wants to introduce to us in the Bible. I love how Pastor Bob, I don't know if y'all caught it, but I caught it and I was so excited that God is everything we need when we need it. Amen. I said everything when we need. So it makes it all more clear when he's God the Father, he's God the Son, and he's God the Holy Ghost, because he's everything we need when we need it. And so sometimes it baffles our mind to think that that's one God. That's what, and I love the analogy that he gave about him being the Father, the Son, us knowing Pastor David, as that, I love that analogy, but everything we need when we need it, okay? But one, everybody say, he is one God. He is one God. You know, I've had people, and even in my younger days, it was hard for me to pray. I had to learn as a child, because I would think, I need to pray to God, and I need to pray to Jesus, and I need to pray to the Holy Ghost. And I felt like I was leaving somebody out all the time, and I'll be praying, and I said, ooh, and I mean in the name of Jesus, and welcome Holy Spirit. And I was just trying to get them all, make sure I was not leaving anybody out, because as a child, I didn't know, but we came from steep teaching of God is one in the last 14 years before we came to be pastors. And I thank God for that, because I finally got the understanding that they all were one God. And one of the things is it baffles our minds sometimes, but all things are possible with God, right? Amen. All things are possible with God. But I love the thing is that when he said that he is the great in the Old Testament, when he said to Moses, go tell the people who they said, who shall I say you are? Moses asked God, and God said, tell them that I am. We find out, he said, tell them I am sent you. Then we'll find out in the New Testament, and if you read the Bible, like the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you'll come up with the fullness of what God is trying to tell us. But the thing I notice is that in the book of John, which a lot of the scriptures I'm coming out of today is John, in the book of John, in the Old Testament, God says, tell them the great I am sent you. In the book of John alone, there are 7 times that Jesus claims to be the great I am. And a lot of times people will say, that is contradictory. The Bible contradicts itself. God says I am. Then we get there to Jesus, the Son says I am. It's not contradictory. It is Jesus is constantly revealing who he really is. From the very beginning, he's revealing who he is. Do you guys understand that in Genesis 1 and 26, it says this. It says, and God said, let us is more than just me, okay? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now let's go to the Amplified Bible and see what it says, because I want you guys to realize that from the very beginning of the Word, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is present from Genesis to Revelation. It says in the Amplified, it says it like this. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Here we find in the Bible, we find God the Creator above us. Then we find God the Son, the Redeemer, God with us. Then we find God the Holy Ghost, God within us. He's our enabling power and teacher. As I began to think about that last night, God has come closer and closer and closer. Sometimes he seems very, very far away, but in all actuality, through the Word, it just shows of a God that keeps coming closer and closer and closer to his children. In creation, he was above us. He was creating everything. Then as a son, he comes down. He leaves his mighty home in glory, and he comes to redeem us. And then as the Holy Ghost, he comforts them and says, you know what? I know you're feeling sad because I got to go, and it's expedient for me to go, because while I'm here, it's just one of me trying to get this word out to everybody. He said, but if I go, then I will come again. Then I will come again. Then I will come again. He wasn't talking about the last days. He was talking about I will come again as the comforter, as the Holy Ghost, and now I'll be within you. And so it's God getting closer every single time. He's close. Then I was thinking about, you know, the closest time he's going to get, you guys, is when he comes back as King of Kings and Lords of Lords, and he takes us home. But his whole point has been to get closer and closer and closer to us. So we're going to start with one of the things that Pastor was preaching about is embracing the Holy Spirit. And to embrace something, you really got to know what it is. You got to know. And first thing that we have to get out of our vocabulary that's very hard for me to get out of my vocabulary, that I constantly have to go back, is calling the Holy Spirit an it. He is the Holy Spirit. He is God. He's the person of God. He is God. And a lot of times you say, I want it, or we call Holy Spirit an it. But it's him. And so we need to welcome him into our life. In John 7, 37 and 39, it says this. And we're going to start out with some, ending with some scriptures that Pastor David had in his. In the last, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, and I want y'all to keep hearing it, because we're going to get to a place where we're going to really understand who the Holy Spirit is. And why it's so important, because some people feel like it's not important because they've made it just about tongues, and they say it's not important, I don't need to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit is very important. He is very important. Okay, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Out of his belly, and God was revealing something right there, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus was talking with them, and after they had the feast, Jesus was telling them that if you believe on me out of your bellies, if you believe on Jesus, on you believe on the one who came to die for you, if you believe on him, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Has anybody ever experienced that? I just want you to think about it. Out of your belly flowing rivers of living water. He spake of the Spirit. This is what he was talking about, the Spirit. Then in John 14, 16 through 17, he says, and I will ask the Father, and this is all that Jesus is comforting them, exhorting them, because he's getting ready to leave. And so he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. And I want y'all to understand what that word means. A counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. Just in words alone, if we really looked up every single one of those words, we show that the power that we have by having this, he's not just a comforter to stroke us when we're sad. He's not just a comforter to lift us when problems are in our lives, but he's got more to him than that, the comforter. He's going to be our counselor. Has anybody ever needed a counselor? He's going to be our helper. Oh, my God. We know good and well we've needed a helper. He's going to be our intercessor. And Jesus said, he is our constant intercession for us, between us and the Father. He says he's going to be our advocate. Who has ever needed someone to advocate for them? Then he's going to be our strengthener. Oh, man, sometimes you just feel bone tired. Come on. Just not in mind, in body, but he's going to be our strengthener. And it says he's going to be our standby. I love that, because you can have a whole lot of people that says, I'll stand by you. But when trouble comes, they're fair weather friends and they're gone. But God promised, I will be your standby. I don't care what you're going through. I mean, when we think back to the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, they had a standby, right? They looked over there and they said, oh, my goodness, there's a fourth man in the fire. That fourth man was a standby. And that fourth man will be in the fire with us. He will be our standby. And he said, and I'm going to send you this comforter because I got to go, Jesus in the flesh, Jesus as the Son, I've got to go. But he says, this comforter that I send you, he will remain with you forever. I said, he will remain with you forever. And I want y'all to get this. He will remain with you forever. He doesn't come and go. He's not in and out. He will remain with you forever. Sometimes the enemy tries to make us feel like the comforter is gone. The Holy Ghost is gone. You've done something so wrong and the Holy Ghost is gone. And that's not it. He will remain with you forever. I loved how Pastor David said, you're going to take him wherever you go. So that kind of made me start thinking sometimes about where I was going, you know, and I thought about it. I'm taking the Lord Jesus right here, because he said, if you make your bed in what? I'll be there. So he said, I take you wherever you go. I am really a standby in your, come on, that should make us so excited this morning. We've got a standby. Wife may leave you, mother may leave you, father may be gone, friends may be gone, but we've got a standby that said, I will remain with you forever. People may walk out your life, but God is, I will remain. I will remain with you forever. I love that he's going to remain with us forever. And it's called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, or take to its heart, but it, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly, and that's not enough, and will be in you. And will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. Don't you love that? It's so hard to imagine something that he's in us. Have you ever thought about that? I'm saying, Jesus is in me. And you just start, if you think really hard about it, how can Jesus be in me and be in one and be, because he's God. And be everywhere. John 20:21-22, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, this is the great commission that he's given the disciples, the same great commission that's over all of our lives as believers. He says, so I am sending you. And having said this, he breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive means to accept by deliberate and ready reception of what is offered. Until then, all they knew was Jesus in the flesh, walking with them, doing miracles, sleeping with them, eating with them. He knew that he was really making an introduction to the Holy Spirit. And so he knew they didn't know anything about that. He knew that all they knew was walking and talking with Jesus every day. And you know what? I think about it sometimes. I think, oh, how blessed they were. Have you ever thought, man, I wish I was born in them days. I wish I was one of the disciples that got to walk with Jesus every day, see his miracles, sleep with Jesus, eat with Jesus. Even in all that sleeping, eating, and walking, they still didn't know him in the fullness. And although it may seem like we were missing out on something because we didn't get to do it, God has revealed more and more and more of himself to us. And that's what we need to realize, is that when he went away, he began to reveal and teach, and Spirit began to teach us who he really was, just like he had to teach the disciples. Even though he walked with them, when he went away, the Comforter kept revealing and expanding their knowledge of who it was that Jesus really was. And so it's a wonderful thing when he says, receive the Holy Spirit, it means this. Do you accept? A lot of us, when it says receive the Holy Spirit, we feel like right then they just start talking in tongues. And we equate always receive the Holy Spirit as speaking in tongues. But what he wanted them to receive him, that's what he's really, receive him. Receive who he is. Receive him in the fullness. And all his gifts are going to come after that. But receive him. And I'm going to keep saying that because it made me so excited last night. What God is really trying to get us to see. Then in Acts 1 and 4, so after he tells them this, then in Acts 1, 4 through 5, it says, and while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with, placed in, and introduced into the Holy Spirit. So he's telling the disciples, don't leave from Jerusalem. Don't you leave from here. I'm leaving, but don't you leave from here. What's wrong? Can you guys hear me? Y'all can hear me with or without the mic? Okay, good. Okay. I was wondering what that sign was he was doing. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Let me read it again then. And while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. I love this part about the disciples, is that they were so obedient. Do you know when you're disobedient, you miss something? And when I think about that, what they would have missed if somebody would say, y'all ain't staying in no Jerusalem, he's gone. I'm going to do what I normally do. I'm out of here. I'm not. You know how we get contrary. That don't even make no sense. He's not even here, and he's telling us to stay here. But isn't something that when God tells you to do something, you got to stop rationalizing what makes sense or doesn't make sense and just do it? Just do it. Because there was a blessing when he told them, don't you leave here, but you wait for what? You wait. And the hardest thing is to do something that you have to wait for, that God said. Isn't that something? At first, if it happens real quick, we're just all excited about it. But when we have to wait for something, God tells us to wait, then the days go by, then months go by, then years go by, and wait. After a while, we can get very discouraged, and we can start questioning, God, did you really mean for me to wait right here? Did you really mean that I can't move? Did you really mean that? But God meant what he said. And we find that when they went to Jerusalem, nothing happened instantaneously. That's right. They waited and they waited, and they could have at any moment, they could have said, you know what? I'm going home. I'm out of here. I'm through. I'm tired of waiting. But good things happen when we are obedient to the word of God. In Acts 1 and 8, it said this. Jesus tells them, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now Jesus knew that he was leaving and going back to the Father, and while he was with them, they could do everything. While he was walking with them, they could do everything. But he knew that when he left, they was going to become discouraged. He knew that the enemy was going to come at them hard because the master was gone. But he wanted to let them know, that's why I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait. And I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you ministering. I just want you to go wait. You know how wait sometimes is hard not to do anything. But he said, I just want you to go to Jerusalem and wait there. Wait there until the Holy Ghost comes. Now, when the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to receive the power, the efficiency, and the might. And now you're ready to go out because you receive what you need to do the job that you need to do. And he said, what was the job? And he said, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Now, understand this. He was talking to the disciples right then. But remember, the Great Commission is still on our lives, too. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, all right, baptizing them. It's on our lives, too. And we need the same thing that the disciples need. We need power, efficiency, and might. And we need to wait upon God so that God can fill us. That's his gift. The Holy Spirit's gift is to give you the Holy Spirit. I thank God for that. In Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says this. After Jesus tells them to go and wait, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all in one accord in one place. You know, I always think about us being here in the house that things can happen when we're all in one accord. Because we're all in one place. If we just get in one accord, God can just move. If we just get in one accord. And sometimes we wonder, why isn't God moving? It's because sometimes we're not in one accord. Sometimes we're not thinking about what he wants to give us. We're thinking about what we want from him. Do you understand? I come in and God might want to give me, fill me up with joy, peace, all the spiritual gifts. And I just might want to. My mind might be on breakfast. I didn't eat breakfast. I smelled them. I was telling David, he said there was some cinnamon rolls back there. And I was thinking, I should have got me one of them cinnamon rolls. See, sometimes I come in and our mind is all over the place. But God said in this, they were all in one place. And in one accord. And if we come in one accord, God, what are you going to do today? God, Lord, I'm available to you. Do what you want me in me today. Do what you, if we all came in that kind of mindset, Lord, I'm open to you, God. God, have your way in me. One accord. What happens in that one accord? So on the yes, he does. He commands a blessing. Thank for Peter hollering it out. God commands a blessing. Okay, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one accord in one place, it says, and suddenly. Because God is just waiting for that one accord. He knows we're all here, but he's just waiting for the oneness of mind, the oneness of heart. Suddenly, it can happen, boom, it can happen like that. And suddenly, because they had been praying and they had been praying, they had been sitting where he had told, praying and praying. It says they were all in one accord. And I can imagine for a little while before the one accord, can you imagine we're just sitting around and we're praying and we're like, well, he told us to wait. And then, yes, God, I wonder what he's telling us to wait for. Somebody says, how long do we have to wait? This is a long time. What are we really doing? And then somebody's like, does this make sense? I'm just talking about to the natural. Before they got it, because they could have got in one accord right when they got there. But it says they were there praying and praying. Prayer makes you get in one accord. When you start praying and praying, you will come to a oneness. But a lot of times the enemy will attack our unity because we got so many questions and we're trying to reason everything out. You know, we can come in and say, why are they singing that song? That's not the song that I wanted to hear today. Ooh, that sounds a little bit out of tune. Oh, this, she's coming in today. We can get so inundated that we can forget, what am I really here for? What am I here to do? Who am I supposed to be lifting up? Girl, ooh, you look so cute. I'm trying to say her name. Amanda, that hat is so cute. We can get so inundated with just the naturalness of life that we forget what we came in, that God told us to worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. And so sometimes we're like, why isn't the spirit moving? Why isn't the spirit? Because it's just a lot of flesh going on. Just a lot of carnality going on. And God is, why isn't the spirit moving? Oh, we want the spirit to move. But to the spirit to move, we got to be in one accord. And I know, because I know when I'm in one accord, the spirit moves. I also know when I'm fleshy, okay? And the Holy Spirit says to me, that is not necessary right now, Pastor Linda. That's not the time to be doing that, Pastor Linda. It's time to lift up your hands and worship me. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. Nobody was missing, okay? It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon the rich, the cute, the happy. It set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I don't want nobody getting nervous up in here, because you know what? We're going to bring an understanding, because a lot of times when I grew up, speaking in tongues was not looked upon. It was frowned upon, very much so. It was believed that I had got into a cult. And so I had left the church that I was growing up in and then went to a Pentecostal church. And when I saw them speaking in tongues, I didn't think it was okay. I thought I was like, what am I? In fact, asked my husband, I wasn't going back to that church. That's the church that Pastor David told you. I was invited to that church, but when I got to the church, they were speaking in tongues, and everybody was running around. They were speaking in tongues and calling me out and calling me forth and prophesying. And you know what I said? I said, I don't need this. And so I said, I'm not coming back here, because something was stirring inside of me. I was a little afraid of what I saw, but I said, I'm not coming back here. My husband's been on a cruise for 9 months. I've been trying to get him to go to church for years. And on that 9-month cruise, his best friend invited him to church. And so when he comes back, guess what church does his best friend go to? It's the very church that I don't want to go to. And when he comes in, he says, get dressed. And I'm in shock at first, because he says, get dressed, Linda, because we're going to church. We're going to what? And he said, we're going to church. And then I was happy. I was just like, Lord, you've answered my prayer. And then he said, I said, what church are we going to? He said, Lily of the Valley. Erk! I was like, oh, no, we not. I said, we are not going to that church. And he said, what do you mean we're not going to church? I said, we are not. They do all kind of stuff up in there, and I'm not going to that church. And he said, okay. He was calm as could be. He said, okay. And he goes and takes his clothes and gets back in the bed. He says, okay, we're just not going to church. So what do you think that made me do? Lord, you done answered my prayer, and here I am complaining about a church to go. I said, okay, babe, I'll go. He gets up and he goes. That day when I got, the word of God was preached, just like to me how Peter did on the day of that word was preached to my heart. And it was preached so to my heart that past my fears, past all that stuff that was stopping me from my upbringing, I got up, my hand, first of all, they said, who wants to be baptized? I was one of the ones, I want to be baptized. Now, I want y'all to understand this, that I don't like, anybody that knows me knows, I hate cold, being cold, anything about my body being cold. But when I said I wanted to be baptized, it was dead in the winter. Our baptismal pool was not in the church. Our baptism pool was outside. They had to go outside and crunk the ice in the water. And this girl went down in the name of Jesus. I went down, and I can tell you right now, it was so much of wanting to do this in my heart. I can't even tell y'all. They be saying the water was chilly and all that stuff. All I knew is that Jesus met me in the water. And I was so glad that he met me in the water. And then the other part of being very afraid, because I don't want y'all to be afraid of it, because I had my doubts about it. But the other part was the lady called me out in the back. As some of y'all might know, I wasn't quite like I am now, but I still like my red hair. I had red hair, and I had, as Amanda would laugh, I had the highest little stiletto things on. And the lady calls me from the back. She said, "You back there with that red hair." That was one time I wished my hair was black. But she said, "You back there," she said, "you are going to receive the Holy Spirit." She said, "The Holy Spirit is going to come on you before midnight." And this was, by midnight, this was New Year's Eve night. And I was like, but I didn't, I said, "I'm not going to do that. I can't see myself doing that. Is the Holy Spirit that, what they're doing?" And when I went home, I sat on the couch. On my chair, Pastor David was homesick. I said, and as I sat there, I began to dream. And guys, every time the Holy Spirit does something to me like that, last night dreamed all night. Hot, felt Holy Spirit all over me. But as I was saying, he was sitting there, and I went and I started praying. I have this dream. In this dream, I'm just running around, and I'm telling everybody that I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the dream was so real that when I got up out of the dream, I run to the bed and I said, babe, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he goes, "Babe, you've been just sitting on that chair, sleep." And I said, "No, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I heard myself. I'm speaking in tongues." And he was like, "Babe, you were asleep." And so then I go on to church that night, because I don't know what's going on with this dream and everything. And I go to church, but my thing was, God, I don't know if this is real. People have told me one thing. I see it in your word. I see it in your word. I want y'all to get that part. I see it in your word. I said, so it's in your word, so help me to understand this. Help me to know what's about to happen. I get to the church, and I'm sitting there, and my only thing, my fleece before the Lord was, God, because at then I trusted in David more than I trusted in God. So I said, God, if my husband, I felt if David was there, everything was going to be all right. And so he was sick. So the fleece was really that I knew that he wasn't going to come, so it really wasn't going to happen. Because I said, God, if this is going to happen tonight, then my husband's going to be there. But I already knew in my spirit that I was thinking he had to go to work. He had to be on watch. And I knew that on watch, they wasn't just going to let him off. So I was just like putting this, like, you're going to do the impossible. If this is really real, you're going to do the impossible. So I went to church, sat down, sing, praise the Lord. I could just feel the Holy Spirit just moving. I was kind of like scared, but didn't know why I was feeling this ooh, like that. And just before midnight, the lady comes. She's a visiting pastor. She calls everybody up. She said, "Anybody wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit?" I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, no, you don't. You called me out. You think I'm going to come up here. You know how you rationalize all this stuff. And so then all of a sudden, while I'm talking to myself, I turn and I look like that door, like that. Standing in that door was my husband. He was very sick, very feverish. He was standing against the door like this. Do y'all know that right then I got a real understanding of God answering your prayer with a quickness? I looked there, and there he was standing there. And I just, what is he doing here? So all I could say is, well, what he's doing here is that I just told God if he was here. And so I just right then made up my mind, you guys, to get up out the seat and to go up to the altar. Well, while I was trying to get up out the seat, my legs got the cramps of the cramps. All right, like, so bad, both legs, couldn't move, couldn't do. I didn't know what was going on, trying to get up, just pain. The lady that was conducting the service, she was like, the enemy's trying to stop somebody because God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. As soon as that lady said, the enemy's trying, I'm not good with the enemy trying to stop. Don't say that, because that really kind of upsets me. And so then I get something. I didn't even know what it was then, okay, but I do know what it was now. But as I was sitting there, I just said, oh, no. I just said, no, no, no. And I kept walking. Now, if y'all had saw me, you would have thought, she needs a lot of prayer. Because how I was walking was, you know, I'm just kind of trying to walk. But as soon as I got up there, all I could do was look at that David in the door, look at that God had got me out of that seat with all that pain, and all I could do was I just surrender. God, if this is what you want to do, fill me with the Holy Spirit. As soon as I said, fill me with the Holy Spirit, we didn't have carpet on the floor at our at our church there. It was just cement floor. As soon as I said that, bam, I went out. Next thing I came up, you guys, to speaking, flood, just like, now remember, there should be rivers of living water, rivers. That's what I felt, rivers of living water. I came up speaking in tongues. God had to do something to me because I came from a place that didn't believe in it. So all I kept doing was speaking in tongues. I get in the car with my husband. He's trying to talk to me. He's looking at me. The kids are looking at me, and they're like, and I'm just trying to talk to them, and I'm just speaking in tongues. The next thing I get home, I couldn't do nothing. Washing dishes, speaking in tongues. But because on the inside, I thought, can this be for real? Is this real, Lord? Is this real? Is it going to go away? It's going to go away. I know this. It felt so good. I didn't want it to go away. And I said, Lord, it didn't go away. And my husband will tell you, it didn't go away for days. It did not go away. My friend came to the door to see what was wrong with me, and all I could do was open the door and speak in tongues. But I know it was God trying to show me what that it was real, that it was him. And so I want you guys to accept what God says and not what you're afraid of. Because that's what stops us a lot, is tradition and fear. Whatever God says we can have in the Bible, it's ours to have. And it came to pass again, he says. Oh, and then Peter gets up, and Peter preaches. And Peter preaches by, when the Holy Spirit falls on them, Peter preaches. And what I'm going to need you to do, Robert, in a minute, give me a few minutes, because I need everyone, I don't need no sound today until the sound is supposed to be the sound, okay? And Peter answered them, he preaches. This is Peter, who was so scared that he denied Jesus. He even cursed when they asked him. This is that same Peter. But on the day of Pentecost, he didn't care about who knew that he knew Christ. He didn't care about what they were going to do to him. He preached a word to the people. And they wanted to know what could they do. And Peter, such a word that it pricked their heart to want to change. And Peter answered them, repent. Change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. One of the reasons why we don't feel the fullness of God is that we don't accept. That's why he would say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive him. Receive him. Now that's what I want. Receive him. Not just tongues. Receive him. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and release from your sins. And you shall receive. Once you receive him, you shall receive his gift. Got it? Once you receive him, you shall receive his gift. You got to receive him. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children, and to and for all that are far away, even as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. We've all had an invitation to come to God. And as he has invited us, he has given us this promise. And I love that it says that it's for you, not just for you, but for your children. And I'm so glad that I know it so I can pass it down. You understand? I can pass it to my children. To you and your children, and not just to you and your children, it's to and for all that are far away, far away. That far away is us, because he was talking to the disciples right then. But we were the far away, but the promise is yet to us. And it says in Acts 19, 1 and 2, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, now this is after they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and now they're going and they're preaching. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Now remember, the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the day of Pentecost. All these people had received the Holy Ghost. Now as Paul is going out to preach, he comes up upon these people and finding certain disciples, our first verse that I gave you, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to hear this in the Message Bible because it brought it home to me. Now it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountain, coming to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only? Or did you also embrace him with your heart? Oh, my God, you guys, right there. Right there. Last night, right there. It just hit me right there. God is trying to tell us something. Did we take him in only in our mind, or did we embrace him with our heart? Because I'm saying, why would he even ask them? They were believers. They were disciples. What was it that he saw about them that would cause him to question, had they received the Holy Spirit? What was it that he was seeing by the Spirit that was not all the way on? And he found out that, yes, they were believers, okay? But the believers had, we can be believers in our head, but not in our heart. Oh, my. I said, we can be believers in our head, up here, but it never gets to our heart. There's a lot of people, because when it gets to our heart, there's a difference in the way we walk. There's a difference in the way we talk. There's a difference in the way we live, because it's gotten to our heart. But in our mind, it's only in theory. But in our heart, it's we've really accepted, we've really received. And that's what he was saying, that did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with your heart? Then he says, did he get inside you? Did he get inside you? Is he just in your head, y'all, or is he really in you? Have you accepted that he's really in you? He's in you, not just a thought, but he's in you. And they come back and say, we've never even heard of that. Holy Spirit? God within us? Now, do you guys understand that last night that made me jump up out of my seat? And I was calling Pastor David in. I said, babe, come here. I always say, come here. I just need you to hear this part. Remember his name, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us? And we thought that was just wonderful. Oh, God with us, God with us. And it was wonderful. But right now, the Holy Spirit is not just God with us, but God within us. Not just God here, but God here. Do you understand? Do you stand? I don't know if you get a picture. I get pictures in my mind. Do you understand that if God, somebody's with me, and don't let me fall down on these steps, but walking by me, Holy Spirit, help me. Walking by me, okay, that's, you're with me, okay? And we can hardly even imagine, right? But somebody within me. Now, somebody with me, I could be stumbling, and they might catch me. But somebody within me, if I allow them to take full control of me, I don't have to stumble. I don't have to fall. I don't have to give up. I don't have to sin, because he's within me. Somebody beside me can say, you know what? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But they can't stop me from doing it. But the Holy Spirit within me, he can give me the power. power not to do. The power not to do. I can say, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. And you walking with, but if you're within me, I can say, I can't help myself. But the Holy Spirit says, I know you can't help yourself, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. I'm right now your helper. I'm the one that helps you not to say it. I'm the one that helps you not to do it. I'm the one that helps you not to go there. I'm the one that helps you to love. I'm the one that helps you to forgive. You can't do it by yourself, but because I'm in you. Because I'm in you. Oh, you guys get that. He's in us. He's in us. As sure as your heart is in you, he's in you. He said, then he tells them, how were you baptized then? Asked Paul. And he said, in John, and I want y'all to get an understanding of this. Hear this. He said, how were you baptized then? Because they said, we never heard of the Holy Spirit. And they said, in John's baptism. And he goes, that explains it, said Paul. John preached a baptism of radical life change so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him who turned out to be Jesus. If you've been baptized in John's baptism, you're ready now for the real thing. You're ready now for the real thing. You're ready for Jesus. And they were. And as soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul puts his hands on their heads, and the Holy Spirit, I love this word, entered them. And the Holy Spirit entered them. And the Holy Spirit is in you, has entered you. From the moment on, and from that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's action. All together, there was about 12 people there that day. The Holy Spirit entered them that day when they received. Now, this is what I want us to understand. He asked them what baptism was. Why was that important? Because their baptism was of repentance. Okay? But he said, repent so you change so that you can receive the one. You can receive Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to understand many of us have not repented. Repentance means I accept that how I'm living is wrong. I accept that I can't be my own God and Savior. I know that I, you know, in this world where we want to be independent, in this world where we want to be the be all, we are not the be all. We are not the end all. It's Jesus Christ that is all and all and all and all. And when we repent, a lot of us come up with, we're not repenting. We might be repenting of a sin, but we're not repenting of not serving a Savior, not having any other gods before him. Because our first God usually is ourselves. We're the first God. And although we may repent of that sin, we still walk away ready to take care of our own business, ready to do our own thing, ready to do our thing our own way. And God wants us to realize that when we repent, we accept the fact that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the yes, you're right, the only way, the only truth. We accept it. We really, and when we really, a lot of times have you looked back and found out you haven't accepted the truth about that. Because there's some places in your life where there's still your way. Your way seems to be powerful. Your way seems to be good. Your way seems to be right. And it also seems to be producing. And although God says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, your way reigns. Your way rules. And God wants to know, have you accepted me? You have to accept Jesus Christ before you really understand the whole. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit can be, is a gift. It can be talking all day, but you won't obey. because you have not accepted the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. The Holy Spirit can be directing and guiding and talking, but because you haven't accepted the one who gives the Holy Spirit the gift to talk to you, if you don't obey the word, do you understand? If Jesus is not your everything, the Holy Spirit could talk all day. Because the Holy Spirit said, I'm only going to tell you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to reveal unto you what comes from the Father. But if you don't obey it, it means that the Holy Spirit is trying to talk, but you don't honor him. And I just today, my heart is to let, yes, I love how Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. He believed in it. And Pastor David, as we continue on the vein of the Holy Spirit, you will find the reason for it, the power of that, the gift of that, the gift of speaking in tongues. It's a gift, it's powerful, but you better believe in the giver of the gift. You understand? You better believe in the giver of the gift. Because if you don't believe in the gift, remember, there's a lot of people speaking, but they're not speaking Holy Spirit. There's the people speaking, but they're not speaking Holy Spirit. And so you better know the giver of the gift so you don't get mixed up. Because then you will know. When you know him, then you know that the gift. I've been with people who've been playing around trying to speak in tongues, mocking people speaking, mimicking people speaking in tongues, because they don't honor the giver of the gift. If you honored the giver, a lot of times people are mocking the Holy Ghost, but if you honored him, you wouldn't mock him. Do you understand? You wouldn't see. Sometimes we don't even know what we're doing. We just start mocking and swinging and shouting and doing all this kind of stuff. You are mocking him, the giver of the gift. He's the one that gave you this gift. And we mock him and we mimic him because we don't honor that. It is him. It is him. And God said, receive him. Before you receive the tongues, receive him. Receive the giver, the giver. Come on, giver of the gift. I love Peter. He kind of helps me. He knows that's, you know, guys, really, he knows that's something I want to say, because when we do that, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we mock what he does, or we mimic what he does, or we play around, because it's not no play around thing. See, people think it's not no play. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. And that's whether you're talking naturally or spiritually. You don't play around with it. But we play around with it because we have to receive him. When I honor him, I'll honor the gifts. It's the same way that we do when we say, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me this. God, oh, like he's Santa Claus. But we won't do anything that God says. And but his mercy. Oh, but his mercy, you guys. It does. It endures forever. And his mercy is right there. That's why sometimes we stay in these places, because we don't recognize his mercy. His mercy over our lives. I want you to get it today that, yes, Holy Spirit, when we be praying, Holy Spirit, come down, Holy Spirit, come down, Holy Spirit, come down. You know what we need to start saying? Holy Spirit, come through. Holy Spirit, come through. Holy Spirit, come through. Come through me. Come through me. Come through me. I understand that there's so many ways that we say things, but we really, when we have the Holy Spirit, he don't have to come down. He's already here if we just let him out. Let him come through us. Let him have his way. Let him have complete control, and then he'll come through us. Honor him. Honor him when we're singing. Honor him when we're praying. Honor him in everything that we do, because it's in him we have our being. And we need to honor him. And as God says, as we honor him, we give him freedom to move. When we say move, Holy Spirit, we're acting like the Holy Spirit is out there. Now remember, on the day of Pentecost, I want y'all to get this understanding. It says, and it came in as a rushing mighty wind. And a lot of times, we're looking for the rushing mighty wind to blow through the church. But the thing is, it came as a rushing mighty wind, said the Holy Spirit is here. He's here. He's back in the earth. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. Now he comes through us. He comes through us. The rushing mighty wind is us. If we let him out, all of us blowing at the same time. The rushing mighty wind, if we let him come through us. But sometimes we're waiting, like I was as a child. God, where you're up there, you're up there. I used to lay on the ground and look at the clouds, and I don't know if anybody else did that, and I just knew God was up there somewhere, and I would see his face in the clouds, and I would see, and then the Bible told me that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, so I said, well, I can't be seeing the whole of him if the earth is his footstool. I would think all the time as a child about God. But when I look and see this, you guys, understand this. God is not somewhere out there. Somewhere up there. It's somewhere in here. Won't you let him out? Won't you let him have his way? Won't you let him be God? Won't you honor him and let him out and let your honor show that you honor him, and then all the gifts will come. Speaking in tongues and all the other gifts that God promised, they'll be there, and they'll be there straight, and they'll be there true, and they'll be true worship of him once we honor him. Because all the gifts that God gives us, if we're not honoring him, pollution is in those gifts. Pollution is in those gifts. We can sing like mockingbirds, but if I'm trying to honor me, pollution is in the gift. I could preach like Paul. Ooh, don't I wish I could preach like Paul. Preach like Paul. But you see that? I could preach like Paul, pollution would be in that gift. Because I got to preach like what God told Linda to do, all right? We got to be what God's called us to do and honor him truly today. When we sing, you know, I told Amanda I wanted her to sing Fire, because the Bible said that the Holy Spirit will come with fire. Now, fire is, it ignites us. It's hot. We should be hot. You know, Christians, we should be hot. I love that, too. Don't I love that? I hate cold, so Christians should be hot. People should get around us and they should feel hot, heat, not madness, not angry, not all that stuff we show in the flesh, but there should be hot, a hotness around us that's attractive, that the fire of the Holy Spirit is upon us. And God wants us to have that fire, you guys. And when I begin to think that that's him I'm representing, the Holy Spirit is him. And Jesus, come have your way in me. Holy Spirit, light like a fire through me, God. Through me. Fire. Guys, Holy Spirit, this morning as we stand, I want us to stand and I want us to get ready. Receive him. Did you hear what I said? Receive him. Oh, I'm so glad I can hear people when they talk in tongues and run and shout. But receive him. I know people who run and shout and they don't even believe in Jesus. That's not a true indicator, you guys. It's not. Remember the back going down in Jesus' name in the water, and it says that for us to get into the kingdom, we must be baptized by water and spirit. So going down in Jesus' name in the water, that's an outward show to everybody that you've given your life and you're becoming a Christian. Being baptized in the Spirit, It's an inward no. It's an inward no. And a lot of times we're doing a like a outward show of speaking in tongues with no walk to go with that. And it confuses people. And so people think that's the Holy Ghost. That's him. But that's just some ghost. It's not holy. It's not holy. And we need to represent the Holy Ghost. We need to represent him, and we need to represent the gift that he's given us. And he's given us the Holy Ghost gift, baptized us, immersed us in the Holy Ghost so that we would have an advocate. We would have a standby. Somebody's doing you wrong. You don't have to cuss them out. You don't have to punch them in the face because you have an advocate. But if you just wait on him, if you just wait on him, you have an advocate. You have a standby. You have a comforter. You have everything that you need. If you don't jump back into, I don't need you, Jesus. I'm going to do it my way. And that's how God knows whether we honor him and we have accepted him. Because how he knows that is not in our everyday happy life, praising God, singing. That doesn't mean that we've truly received him. We receive him in our trials. We receive him in our tribulations. We receive him when people hate us and say all manner of evil against us, and we still love on him. We're receiving him. We receive him when they fire us on our job and we didn't do anything at all. But yet we bless those that curse us. That's how we receive him. That's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works having us to do those things that we in our flesh would never, ever do. But the Holy Spirit within us, it will teach us and be quiet. Go say you're sorry. Love them anyway. Take them some cake. Come on. That's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has to reflect. The gift of the Holy Spirit has to reflect the giver. And God is love. And if the Holy Spirit coming through you does not reflect the giver, something is wrong. And so God wants us to know this morning that we have to receive him. This morning we pray for the fire, though. Fire to come down in this place. Fire to fill us. You guys, and some of you say, I've been filled. I'm telling you right now, keep filling me, Lord. Keep filling me, because every day something's pulling on me. Every day some adversity, some trial, some old Linda's pulling on me. Keep filling me, God. Fill me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Right now, as we pray and as they just sing, I just want those that today you want to receive him. Some just want a refreshing. Have you ever doubted that he was in you? If he was here, why this? If he was here, why? He is in you. If you've ever doubted that, I want you to come to the altar. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you've accepted him but you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, fire coming to this place. Fire coming to this place. I want y'all to all look at me, okay, please? When I say fire coming to this place, I'm saying fire coming to this place. Everybody that already has it and you, right now, I want it to come through that place, through your hearts. Holy Spirit, take complete control. Now, remember, I want everybody to get, because people, I'm not asking for tongues to take complete control. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit, him, to take complete control of you. And because a lot of times the baptism of the Holy Spirit cannot happen. We cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit because we're resisting him. We're resisting what he's doing. We're resisting him instead of, God, here I am. Lord, do whatever you want to do. However, I'm not in control. I'm giving over control to you. I know this world is crazy and has made me doubt any man, but God said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, y'all can sing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I just want y'all to listen to a little bit. Yes. Come on. Yes, we do. Come on. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, babe. Thank you, God. Yes, we do. Come on. What I'd like to do is, right now, come here, Krisha. 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 And the Bible said he laid his hands on them because he told the disciples, receive him. And then it said, he just laid his hands on them. And he said, receive ye. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive him. Yes, thank you. Come on, receive. Receive. That's it. That's it. Oh, go to the Abba Baba Baba Shokoria Baba 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 Shokoria Baba 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 Shokoria. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible said that Paul simply laid his hands on them and he said, receive. Receive what's yours. Receive him and every gift, and every gift, and every gift, and every gift is yours. In Jesus' name, I receive you, Lord. I receive every gift. I don't look at myself like I see myself. I look at myself and how you see me. And so, God, I receive every one of your good gifts in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said that Paul put his hands on them, and he said, receive. Receive him. And the Bible said Paul put his hands on them and he said, receive, receive, receive. And the Bible said Paul put his hands on them and he said, receive, receive, receive. And the Bible said, Paul put his hands on him and he said, receive. He said, receive, Debbie. Receive in the name of Jesus. It's yours, baby. Receive. Receive. Oh, feel it right now. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Put your hands up, baby. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Holy Abba, that's it. That's it, baby. Oh, go to the Abba, 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 Abba. So, fill her, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes! Yes, God! Thank you, Jesus. He did it, baby. Don't be afraid of it. It's yours. Just open your mouth up and go, Lord, you said it. I got it. Da 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 da. That's all you do. Thank you, Jesus. Just like he did it before. Lord, we are ready for more. Just like he did it before. Hey, Jenny, stand up, please. Can you stand up, please, baby? God said, and Paul laid his hands on him. And Paul said, he laid his hands on him. And he said, receive. 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 That's it, baby. That's it. Come on, receive. They, put your hands up, baby. I surrender. I receive. That's it, baby. That's it, baby. Lord, we are ready for more. Lord, we are ready for more. Come on. Lord, we are ready. Lord, we are ready for.
I love the Lord. I'm just struggling with some legs.
I know.
But I know the Lord's with me.
I know.
He's never left me.
He never left you.
But I want, like,
more
abundant life.
Lord.
Yeah, I know.
You hear her.
I have to trust him.
Yes, Lord.
How it's going to happen.
Through Christ. Receive him. And Paul put his hands upon them. And he prayed. Said, receive. Help her to trust you. Help her to let go and let God. Let go completely and let God. Lord, I trust you. I depend on you. Oh, God, I need you. Yes, God. I give them all to you. I give them all. God, I don't have to be in control. You be in control of my life. You be in control. You
yes,
be in control.
God,
in control. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let him be in control. Thank you. I know you are. I know.
So hard.
Yes. And so that's why he wants to give to you. That's why he wants to give to you. Because that's exactly what you do. You can't keep giving out and not getting nothing in. Using you, and he will.
Yeah.
You feel like you need more? Just raise your hand. Come on, come on. Thank you. That's okay.
I'm with me.
Yes. You understand this? He can't receive what you haven't received. He can't receive God. If you're not going to walk God out in front of him, you keep saying receive God, but you're saying receive me over God. And God is God, and he doesn't want no other gods before him, not even a man. But you're scared.
Yeah, I'm scared because I'm being 600
a month.
Yeah,
I know.
Let's
hear what he says. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yep.
Yes. Would you tell her that? Tell her that, please. Listen. Listen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, go. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. time you come, here's my prayer for you to understand more and more and more and more. All this can be so chaotic sometimes. But God is peaceful, and He wants to fill Amber with the Holy Spirit. Sounds kind of scary, like I told you, but it's beautiful when it happens. Beautiful. So glad you keep coming, though. Keep coming, and if there's one word that sticks out to you, that's the word you concentrate on, because that's your word. That's your personal word. It's so pretty.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you for the perfume.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God.